Well, good morning again. It's so good to see you. And I do mean that. It feels like forever since we've all been together. And we're still not all together, but good enough anyway. This morning, what I wish to do for you is to kind of give us an orientation of where we are. The question would be, where in the world are we right now because of all the things that have been going on? The COVID pandemic has been something that in our lifetime we've never experienced, a pandemic of this nature. Although there have been several others in the past that we've had to deal with, nothing has ever been quite as, what should we say?
Personal
is true. Extraordinary, long-lasting. What, honey? Devastating for many. It's been an unusual thing. On the one hand, I have to admit that there have been a lot of people who wish to do the right thing in the medical profession, in government, and in different agencies that wanted to make sure that the population was safe and well and could recover and be safe. And I want to applaud those people, regardless of whether or not we agree with the mandates that were put upon the population. Whether or not the science was correct, there were people who really wanted to help. And we thank God for them. They were well-meaning. On the other hand, there are forces in this world that wished to take advantage of the COVID situation, that used it to create a pandemic of fear and to influence people and control them. The goal to control people, to see how effective the mandates would be in controlling a population. Because if they are going to succeed, and they will not, but there are those who wish to succeed in creating a one-world government, the first thing they have to do is control the population. They have to get the population to agree with everything that they want them to agree to. And mandates are the way to do it. And fear is the great influencer that can be used. And so fear was used in that way. So I would look at this and say that those evil people who wished to have a one-world government had a dry run, and they were able, I think, to assess how effective they were with the mandates. The mandates really did not work. Even today, as we see the pandemic winding down, there are nations, four, five, six of them already in Europe, that are demonstrating against the mandate and say, we've had enough. We've had enough. We want our freedom to make choices whether or not we get vaccinated or wear a mask or whatever. And this is natural. Society is going to respond this way because humans do not like to be controlled. God did not make us to be controlled by one another. And so we're seeing this rise of resistance that's coming about. At the same time, the pandemic itself is winding down. They're done finding new strains, new developments, new whatevers. It's coming to an end. So where are we in the midst of all this? There are those, like I just said, who wish to bring about a one-world government. They will have to use systems like socialism and ultimately communism to accomplish their will. Most of the people who are in favor of socialism really don't even understand it. But socialism is one step away to communism. Communism is a godless system. Socialism isn't much better. The result of communism or socialism, which is the preliminary step to communism, is that they will have no God to involve in their lives, to be involved in their lives. The early church went through this trouble. The early church would say, Jesus Christ is Lord. The Romans said, no, Caesar is Lord. We'll let you practice your little activity, your little religion, but Jesus is not Lord, Caesar is Lord. And that was the big contention that caused most of the problems for the early Christians. This is true with every dominating country that has ever wished to succeed in ruling the world. It was true with Germany, it was true with Japan. Right now, communism in China prevents almost altogether the worship of our Lord Jesus, with the exception of a state-run Christianity, which is contradictory in terms. Meaning that instead of the worship of Jesus Christ being a free activity of the believer, this communist state tells that church how it can worship, where it can worship, when it can worship, etc. Which really limits Christianity altogether. So where are we in the world right now? After all the things that have happened to us, the tendency to be disoriented about the future, about what God wants of us, is very prominent. And so God wants to speak to us about where we are. Number one, I want to say this to you. A one-world government will never succeed. Ever. 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 It will never succeed because our God has determined already that the nations of this world become the nations, the kingdoms of our God and His Jesus, His Christ, period. So, we don't have to fear that, but we do have to recognize that we will end up at times being engaged in a struggle against it. However, we are sure of one thing, and that is that our God wins. Amen? And so we have to have a positive outlook about all of this. There will be, and I'm quite certain of it, a massive revival that will take place. I don't know how soon, but I can say soon. Why? Because whenever God has determined to pour out His Spirit, He sets His people praying. And more people are beginning to pray for revival all around the world, knowing surely that the only solution right now, the immediate solution, is for God to bring about a great harvest of souls through an outpouring of His Spirit, a great massive revival. How soon will that happen? I don't know, because God has determined the time for it already. All we are required to do is pray. And pray often. I am meeting with pastors every week, and we pray for revival every week. We are intense about seeking God for revival, that He'd pour His Spirit out, that there would be a massive, massive change in the hearts of God's children, that the church would repent of some of its carnality, and that God would really bring about a massive revival in the church. Consequently, His Spirit will rush into this world and bring about a huge salvation, a massive influx of the lost. How is that going to affect the future? Saved people change society. It's as simple as that. Saved people change society. They think different. They act different. They accomplish the will of God. Changed people change society. In the meantime, this is where we want to go this morning. In the meantime, what is our responsibility? So I want to take you to Matthew chapter 5 and begin with verse 13. I'm going to read, first of all, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We want to begin with a truth about this statement. The truth is, Jesus declares something about who we are. He says, you are salt. We are not becoming salt. We are salt. We are salt. This is a condition of our lives. It is a statement of fact of who we are. We are the salt of the earth, or the salt of the world. What is it that salt does? Well, salt is used for a number of things. For one thing, salt prevents the spread of contamination. Salt was used in salting of meats and fishes. Without refrigeration, there was nothing that the early church or the early world could do except use salt to prevent the contamination of their food. And so they would salt their meats and salt their fishes. If there was any contamination in a meat, salt would halt the spread of it so that they could cut out that which was corrupt and keep that which is good. But salt would prevent the spread of contamination. Are you clear on that? This is very important to us. Let me tell you a little story. When I was a kid, I might have been somewhere between 10, 11 years of age. A group of us, Chico, his brother Nicky, Jimmy White, Tommy Castry, and me, went to a baseball game in Chicago. One of the fathers took us kids. It was on a Saturday morning, and we drove in to Chicago to see the Chicago Cubs. And at the seventh inning, when you take a stretch, I had to go to the bathroom, and so did Nicky Rotello. So Nicky followed me to the bathroom, and when I got to, excuse the expression, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but when I got to the urinal, Nicky standing behind me, while I was doing my business, he noticed a man to the right, standing in the next line, over to my right, who was eyeing my back pocket and the wallet that I had that was sticking out. And Nicky noticed that that man was inching over so that he could snatch my wallet while I was doing my business. Follow this? So Nicky had these big Coke bottled glass eyeglasses, just huge, you know. And so when he looked at you, he looked like Doctor Who. I mean, it was like startling, you know. So somehow or another, Nicky caught the gaze of this guy who wanted to take my wallet. And when the guy caught Nicky's gaze, he all of a sudden stopped. Nicky didn't say anything to him. Nicky didn't reach over to stop him. Nicky didn't even warn me. He told me after. What does that little story have to do with us? Nicky's presence prevented corruption from taking place. If Nicky wasn't there, I would have lost my wallet. But Nicky was there. That's all that mattered. He was there. And he exercised his property. His property was his eyeglasses, looking up at that guy and startling him and keeping him from doing what he was going to do. Your presence, beloved, is like that. If you realize who you really are. Excuse me. There's no rest. Let's go to, let's go to Colossians chapter 4. So let's ask this question. How is it then that we will halt the spread of evil, of contamination in this world? What is it? I got a page that's stuck. Hang with me. Okay. Verse 6. Paul wrote to the Colossian church and he said, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." So your saltiness is going to come out of your speech. You won't always be like Nikki, just standing there and stopping things. But the point I made is that your presence is important. Then your presence, when you speak, when you declare truths, when you come against unrighteousness, when you say, no, here's the truth, here's what the Word of God says, then you're speaking, your speech is seasoned with salt. The grace of God is upon your communication. Here's the one thing that I want you to be free of, and that is fear of telling the truth to people. You must be free to tell the truth, to give an answer, to speak the will of God, to declare the kingdom of the Lord, to tell people about Jesus, to reveal what you know, to share your experiences, to testify of Christ, to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. You must be free. I want to stop and pray with you right now. If there's anything that the enemy wants to do, and that is shut down the church from its voice. And in the name of Jesus, I speak right now to those here and to those who will see and hear this word, in Jesus' name, you all be free from the fear of speaking truth to the world. Do not let intimidation, threat, retaliation, resistance of any type to keep you from speaking the truth in love. Without hearing the truth, men cannot believe. There is no way they will succeed without hearing the truth of God. Do not be afraid, for God is with you. He is with you. Let your speech be seasoned with salt, full of God's grace. Every opportunity that God brings you into, regardless of the subject, will have a chance to speak the truth of God. Look for it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Wait upon Him, and surely He will give you the word to say. It is not entirely up to you to do it. God is with you, so that you can be salt. Now, let me say this. This is a terrible thing that Jesus said. If your salt loses its saltiness, it's worthless. It can be trampled underfoot by men. And that's what the enemy wants to do, trample you under their feet. But God is with you. You are salt. You're like Nikki. Your presence is going to halt evil's spread. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." I think this is an extraordinary statement because Jesus is the light of the world. The Word of God says of Jesus Christ, "In Him was life, and His life was the light of men." Now that Christ is in you, that same light that Christ had is in you. You too are the light of the world. You enable people to see what is hidden in darkness. Without your light, men live in darkness. But behold, those who sit in darkness will see a great light, and that great light will come from you. It will come from you. It will come from you. You can declare to them what they could never see in the darkness that they live in. You can open their eyes to truth. You can reveal who God really is because people don't know who he is. You can dispel the darkness that threatens men and women. People are living in fear all the day long. Fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of diseases, fear that something evil will happen to them, fear for their lives. And that's what darkness does. It keeps people in fear. But you, beloved, are the light of the world. Without you, men cannot see. Without your revelation to them, they will not know. And so I pray this for you this morning as well. Let your light shine. Let the light of Christ in you shine. When you look at people, think about the fact that the light of Christ is in you and it comes out. You can't see it, but others can. Often they will say, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is. But you know what it is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. His light shining through you. You are not on the defense. You are not threatened. You are not running backwards. You're not afraid. The light always dispels the darkness. Darkness never dispels light. Remember this. While you're in the world, every day, with whomever you talk to, whatever situation you face, this is who you are. Jesus said you are salt. Jesus said you are light. Then you are what Jesus said you are. Accept that. Accept it. Receive it. Believe it. Be it. And you will accomplish everything that God wants you to do. When your speech is seasoned with his saltiness,